I'd like to introduce Allison McGuire. Allison, I met maybe a year ago or so from our very good friend, Nick Stein. Nick comes and presents every first Friday of the year and talks about mindfulness and getting ready for the year, getting ready for life, getting ready for your day. And he said, I know somebody that needs to come and present. And he actually a year or so ago talked about an app she was working on, and she was out pitching this thing and the technology behind it was amazing. I thought, oh, that's amazing. Like, yeah, let's have her come and talk. And then after talking to her a few weeks ago, months ago, it turns out really what we needed her to talk about is how to pitch. So Allison McGuire's won all her pitch competitions. She's got a great startup that she's been working on, and she's going to come and make us pitch like bosses. So I'd like to everybody give a hand for Allison McGuire.
Thank you. Thank you. Are we connected? Thank you so much, Mike. Can you all hear me? No? Oh, no. Yes. If you can't, and if my earring gets in the way of the mic, let me know. Hi, everyone. How are you doing today? Great. I have really big energy, so I hope you do. Good morning. I'm actually a night owl, if you will believe it. But thank you so much, Cross Campus, for having me. Thank you all for being here. This is super fun. I give these pitch workshops all over the world, and they are 4 hours long. Minimum. So this is a 20-minute highlight reel of what the pitch looks like. There's a lot of information that I will not go through, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you have questions, save them till the end because I only have 20 minutes to impress you, okay? So give me a second. I will give you some prompts in advance. A little bit about me. Mike already introduced me, but I have two companies. I think one is walking navigation app based on visual cues instead of north-south. So instead of saying your navigation app says head north and you're turning around and around, we say walk towards Starbucks, make a right at Chase Bank, you look up, it's super easy. Why haven't we done this before? And then you go from there, right? People use our technology all over the world. I won't tell you anymore because there's more that you'll watch in a second. And then I have a consulting firm called Monahan McGuire. And our mission is to get your stories and your ideas and visions out to the world. We do that via two main ways. One is pitching. I do pitch one-on-one work in addition to my pitch workshops. And then I also we also do technology development. So we build apps and websites in particular for people who are not super technical but have an idea. Just like I was when I started my first company, I had an idea and I had no idea how to do it. And then I was swindled many a times. And so now I thought, I'm going to help people not experience those things. So I went and I created my Monahan McGuire Creative Collective to solve that problem. As Mike mentioned, I have won every pitch competition that I have entered. And I don't mean that to flip my hair, but I will do it anyway. I mean that because I come from an acting background. I was a trained actor. I grew up here in Pasadena, born and bred. I went to Mayfield Senior. I went to Chandler School, where I was yesterday, living out my memories of awkwardness, but very dramatic nonetheless. And so I performed at A Noise Within. I performed at Pasadena Playhouse, all over the place. And I realized when I was pitching that I was able to tell a concise, compelling story. Not under 20 minutes, though, so this is a challenge. But a lot of the components that came from my confidence came from my acting training. And I realized that not everybody has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on acting training, so I thought, let me give it to you for a bargain. So anyway, I want to help you all pitch like bosses. Starting now. So what's not going to be in this presentation is we're not going to go over slides. I have a whole thing about going slide by slide and how you tell your whole story. Not going to do that today. We're not going to go over memorization tips and techniques. Really important to memorize your pitch. If you have a 1- and 2-sentence pitch, memorize it. Dear God. Even professional actors memorize their lines. So please memorize your pitch. That way you can engage better with whoever you're talking to and not be so in your head. And then we're not going to go over what an ask and win looks like. Very important to have an ask and win. Sadly, I can't go through all of the details of that, but I will give you a little pointers along the way. And then I'm not sadly going to be able to show you how not to bomb, which I have certainly done and you will all do, I'm sorry to say. But if you want to learn how not to bomb, you can ask me in the Q&A about it and I'll tell you then. So that's my little circuitous way of getting more information in right now. So. Let's do it. What are you pitching? If you have brought a pen and paper, write it down. If you have not, think about it in your head. You all have brains, so that part's good. What are you pitching and who are you pitching to? The most specific person you can think of. If you say, oh, I'm pitching to investors, that's nice, but is there an investment fund? Is there a particular investor you're thinking about? Thinking about that right now, super helpful when you're practicing your pitch to get super specific. There are some really easy, and as we know, sometimes the easiest things are the most difficult to actually implement, really easy framework for storytelling 101. One is you have to not talk about how it works. As entrepreneurs and innovators, we want to talk very much about how the thing works that we've been building. We're so excited about it. We want everyone else to be excited about it. But the reality is nobody cares. And what I mean by that is not that nobody cares about what you're working on. It's more that if you don't relate it to their life, why should they listen to you? So if you've ever been talking and then you notice someone's eyes glaze over and you've lost them, that's because you're talking too much about how it works and you haven't related it to their life. So really, you should first talk about a problem. What is a problem that you're solving? How does it relate to their life? Then you talk about a solution. If you don't have a problem and you don't have a solution, you don't have a pitch. Okay? And then you go to the vision. How is the world going to be different? How is the person you're talking to? How is their life going to be different with your idea in it? And then what is the market opportunity? Something's happening here. Hello? Is it better? Are we better? Are we there? Great. And then the next is the market opportunity. A lot of times, is it gone again? No. Is it here? Okay. And then the next is market opportunity. How can you make the person money who's talking to you? Typically, we're pitching for money in some capacity, or we want to increase somebody's return, so it needs to be related to the market opportunity. If you're pitching something for social good, how is the market going to change with your idea in it? Then you can talk about how it works. It's not that you can never talk about it, but like bury it. Don't lead with that, because people will only care after you've related it to their life. And then when you're doing a longer pitch, you need to talk about why you. Why can you do this and nobody else in the world? We get a lot the question, why can't Google Maps do what you do? And I have to come up with an answer to that. And mostly it involves flipping my hair. So let's do this now. You're going to see the winning pitch from Plug and Play, which is a incubator accelerator in Silicon Valley. And I will show you how I work in that framework. So pay attention to those key components.
Hi, everyone. I'm Allison McGuire, the founder and CEO of Walk. And I have a confession for you. I'm a walking addict. You might not think so because of my shoes, but trust me, I am. I walk everywhere. You ever been walking someplace unfamiliar and suddenly your navigation app tells you to head north? Did you turn around and around doing what we call the smartphone pirouette? Or maybe like me, just start confidently walking in the wrong direction? Well, Walk, thanks. Walk eliminates these frustrating problems by giving you directions based on visual cues. Turn right at McDonald's, left at Starbucks, so that you can navigate with confidence and get to that lunch meeting on time. So how does it work? Our proprietary orientation technology exists nowhere else in the world that I'm aware of. We give you directions like you'd give a friend. Walk toward Macy's, for example, if you're in Union Square. And how do we make money? Two ways. One, advertising. Traditional advertising as we know it is dead. We've all had annoying banner ads pop up in our face. Well, we present advertising as a utility. We give brands the opportunity to convert foot traffic into sales. Turn right at McDonald's. Oh, and by the way, here's a free coffee. In fact, McDonald's paid us $49,000 to start developing this feature. Don't worry, we own the IP. The second way we make money is via a SaaS-based solution where we private label our technology and plug it into any other navigation app. Keeping in mind that if you take a boat, plane, train, or car, you have to walk some segment of that journey. The past year has been a complete whirlwind. We have won a number of competitions in addition to Plug and Play, thank you, which have been McDonald's Innovation in Transportation Challenge, BMW's Future of Mobility Competition, and WeWork's Demo Day in New York, where we're based. So why us and why now? So not only am I obsessed with walking, but so is my team. We've done this before. We've created top grossing apps and designed navigation systems all over the world. My team is full of A players. Our art director, for example, worked on The Simpsons and Cartoon Network. Our head of business development headed business development at Waze. We're frequently called the Waze for walking. In addition, we've gained revenue, we've gained investment of nearly $1 million, launched our version 1.0 with those funds, gained intellectual property, just got an email that we officially trademarked the name Walk. And we've been mentioned in numerous media outlets across the globe. Why am I here today? Two things. One, I'm looking for cutting-edge brands that are interested in emerging technologies that will convert foot traffic outside your store doors into sales. And two, I'm looking for savvy investors who are interested in joining our million-dollar round, of which half of which is spoken for, that are interested in building the Waze for walking. Our version 2.0 is what we're building now. And that will give everybody in the room the ability to input information so that you can walk toward things you care about and away from things that you don't. The ways for walking. If you're interested, email me, shortest email of life, a@walk.me. Thank you.
I know you can all be impressed. You can give me a round of applause. It's fine. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Okay, so this worked for a number of reasons. Can you still hear me? Okay, somebody raise your hand if you can. First, there was a pre-intro before I even went on stage. So Plug and Play asked all of the startups to give a fun fact about us, and I was about the presenter. And a lot of the guys, and they were almost all guys, gave things like fun facts like, I like eating macaroni and cheese at midnight on Saturdays. And people laughed, and it was great, and all was great. But for me, I thought, this is a really good opportunity for me to look cool and smart and blow people away before I get on stage. So the guy came on, and he said, Alison McGuire is the is a patented inventor in navigation technology for pedestrians. And then I walk on stage. This person who you saw walked on stage. And when you see me, did anybody immediately think like, patented inventor in navigation technology for pedestrians? Is that what you were all kind of thinking? Totally, yeah, exactly. So it's really important as women and people of color for, unfortunately, this is just the world we live in, but for somebody else to introduce us before we get there. Sometimes I'll arrive a couple minutes late to a meeting so that my partner, all my partners are white guys, but so that one of them can introduce me and talk about how great I am. And then I show up and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And I look like this. And it sucks. This is the world we live in, but it's really helpful in getting people's attention and getting people to gain credibility. The next is that I did not get everything right. I stumbled over my words. There were a few times I was a little awkward, but I was confident in myself, and I had memorized my speech, although I did mess up a couple of words, but it didn't really matter. And when you're giving a pitch, the audience wants you to be successful. So if you've ever been to a comedy show and the person in front of you is bombing, you really want them to get off stage, unless you're a sociopath, you're enjoying it, but you really want them to move off the stage because they're embarrassing you and themselves. So the audience, the thing you should think about is not imagining your audience naked, which is weird, but it's thinking about everybody in this audience wants me to be successful, whether you're talking to one person or you're talking to thousands of people. In that pitch, I was talking to thousands of people. And I thought, everyone in here wants me to do well because they want to see something great. Next is timing. I talk very fast, as you can see, also, again, 20 minutes. But in that presentation, I talked so slowly. And I had to do that because when you slow things down, people start paying attention to every word that you say. And each word becomes much more intentional. So anyway, you can play around with that. And then next is language. I typically don't use any words that are over two syllables, sometimes three. I used one word, which was officially, but I used it, which is officially, which is four syllables. I know, wild, but I used it because officially is an easy concept to understand. So when you're using, so when you're planning out your pitch, you have to write it all down because you're going to memorize it. Keep the words short. Even when you're talking to smart people, we want to follow you, but because it's the first time we've ever heard your idea, you have to slow it down for us and make it really simple. And then last is I had an ask. So with all of you, if you don't have a problem, you don't have a solution, you don't have an ask, you don't have a pitch. If there's no ask, it's not a pitch, it's a conversation, which is cool, but I'm here to talk about pitching, not conversations. All right, so for you, if you have a pen and paper, write it down. If you have a brain, think about it. What is the problem that you're solving? And what, like, it has to be a problem, not something that just you would like to do and is cool, but think a lot about your pitch in what the problem is. And then what is the solution that you're offering? And just jot this down really fast, or just think about it really fast. It's not a test. There will be no test at the end of this. And so next, this is how do you lead and then intrigue an audience? So I am focused mostly on what are the things you need to work on internally to create a badass pitch. Now, one is creating a character. As I said, I grew up in Pasadena. I was an actor for many years, so I did everything from playing a murderess to playing the Grinch to playing this really fun character. I don't know what I was thinking in the time, but I ended up landing on this character that you saw in the video and this character that you see right now, which was, I want to come off as a badass, fresh, young, hip entrepreneur. I don't want to wear a hoodie. I don't want to wear jeans when I am presenting. I'm not saying I don't own hoodies or I don't wear jeans, but that was not the character I wanted to build. So when you are thinking about creating your own character, you might be a Tony Soprano, you might be any of these characters that you see now. I don't know your personality, but all of these characters, we know what their motivations are. We know how they act under pressure. We know how they act when things are good. And so you need to start crafting your own character and what are the aspects of your personality that you want to enhance when you are pitching and when you are performing. It doesn't mean that you're only that thing, but this is one part of your persona. The other things when you're thinking about creating a character is you have to know what your ism is. An ism is when your brain is trying to catch up to your mouth, and typically we fill it with words like or ah or like or you know. Everybody has different isms. Mine are and ah. I used to say evidently in between sentences and at the end of sentences, and my friend pulled me aside and said, you're saying evidently and you think it makes you sound smarter, but really it makes you sound less intelligent. And I said, oh, evidently this is not working. So... Thank you. So you have to know what your ism is. If you don't know what your ism is, ask your friends and family. I guarantee you they know. The other thing is sometimes we have isms that are physical. So some people pace, some people look down, some people when you're standing or whatever. So think about both physical elements and verbal elements. And then next is memorization. As I said before, memorize, memorize, memorize. I can give you tips offline on how to do that, but super important to memorize so that you can focus more on your character and, again, interactions with who you're talking to. And then last is eye contact. I have a whole section on this, but the highlight is eye contact is super important. Someone somewhere once said, look at the tops of people's heads, which is so weird. And I'm just going to take a second to look at all of the tops of your heads, and you tell me how comfortable and engaged you feel with me right now. Great. So getting a lot of good reaction and positive feedback from you, as opposed to what I do, which is I typically segment the audience in thirds, and I try to make eye contact with as many people as I can to deliver a point or two, and then I move on so that I'm not just staring at this one guy in the front, and then I'm just talking to him, and everybody else is like, what's happening here? And he starts getting uncomfortable, and I get closer and closer. That's what comedians do, and I'm not a comedian, although maybe one day I will be. So another thing that's really important is that we all get scared to some degree in presenting. The number one fear in America is public speaking, which is like spiders, way more scary than public speaking. So how do we manifest fear and why do we manifest fear? Really important for you to know how you manifest fear in your body. Typically, we get smaller and smaller and smaller and take up less space. If you think about going into the fetal position or there's an earthquake, you go under a desk or there's a burglar. Typically, you're not starfishing around like, hey, get out of my place. Usually, you're trying to avoid being murdered. So thinking about how does that work for you? And really being in your body. Again, I paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn a lot about being in my own body, so I can give you some pointers on that. But really important to understand your body and how you can just stand and deliver your entire pitch without moving, just as an exercise. Next is our voice. If you've talked to somebody and you have, or somebody's been talking to you and they said, hey, so is that report gonna be ready by noon? You're like, yeah, no, it's totally gonna be, it'll be right there, yeah. And you know that report is not happening, or they know, definitely not happening. Another thing is if you talk fast like me, you'll need to slow down and take your time. And then last and most importantly is in our heads. And my uncle Nick talks a lot about all the voices we have in our heads and how to quiet them down during meditation. Nick Stein right here. You should talk to him. Go Nick. But in our heads, we always think, what is the, oh my God, this is, it's going to be horrible. I'm going to forget my line. They're going to hate me. They're going to throw tomatoes at me. It's going to be really bad. Here's the reality. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen in a pitch? Anybody raise your hand? Raise your hand, anyone? Nobody has an idea. Nobody? Yes, you, sir?
They say they're not interested.
They say they're not interested. Okay, great. Any other ideas?
They heckle.
Yeah, that would be. That would be. They start talking on their phone? That's rude. Yeah, I agree. Rude. Sucks. Yes.
Or if I get tongue-tied.
Exactly. So we forget our lines. They hate us. They're throwing tomatoes at us. Any of these things. Sure. Now, the reality is, if you're not dead and you're not in jail by the end of your pitch, you survived. Really, it's fine. So what I think about is, what is the worst possible scenario? They don't like my idea. They don't want to invest in me. They think I'm stupid or crazy. Okay. Like, I don't care. Bye. So but I give these workshops, as I mentioned, all over, and I did one for Chandler for the kids interviewing for high schools. And I did this was a few months back, and I said, what's the worst that could happen? And I always get kind of this same reaction that you all provided. But the kids said, I could projectile vomit all over the interviewer. And I said, wow, that is the worst thing I've ever heard. That sounds pretty bad. So maybe don't go when you have the flu. I don't know. But okay, don't also, hopefully you don't projectile vomit, but that would suck. But still, not dead or in jail. You're going to survive. Embarrassing, yes. But the other thing is matching energy. When we are nervous or scared, a lot of people tell us to calm down or relax. Now, when you're going into a pitch, this does not make sense. When was the last time you were stressed? And someone told you to relax. How did you feel? Were you immediately, you were like, oh, yes, I'm so relaxed. Or did you say, don't tell me to relax. I am not calm right now. I would never react that way, but like I've heard people react that way. So getting out of that, you have to match that energy. So the nervousness, the scare, the fear, that has an energy level up here. Calm, relax. Something's happening. Calm, relax, nervous, chill, that's down here. So if somebody tells you, or you're trying to go down here, but you're up here, you will either ricochet between the two or land somewhere in between, either of which is very uncomfortable for the person on the other side. So what you need to do is match that nervousness, fear, energy with excitement. And by excitement, I mean pump yourself up. I listen to music that I love. I listen to music that makes me feel powerful before I go on a pitch. I will do jumping jacks to get out that energy. I will start to tell myself it's gonna be awesome. And if I believe that I'm going to be successful, then I'm much more likely to be successful, and you're gonna believe that I'm being successful. If I believe I'm going to be terrible, I'm probably going to be terrible. It's really a self-fulfilling prophecy, so you have to believe in yourself. And a lot of this is fake it till you make it because we actually don't know what we're talking about. We're just pitching something to see, and I've certainly been there, done that. I might be doing it in this moment. But really, believing that you deserve to be in the room, believing that you have something of value to offer the people you're talking to, will make them feel the same way. And you can really read that energy. It's kind of like going on a date. Oh, that's, the emoji did not work properly. That was going to be a big reveal, but geez, I guess not. Anyway, I forgot what I was saying, so I'm just going to move on to the next slide. So rallying the crowd is really important. We've all had lectures or by people and we're falling asleep or we're counting the ums or ahs. Maybe I've just been doing that. But we really, when you get an interesting presenter and you have a really good pitch, you're capitalizing on three key emotional states. One is anger. It doesn't have to be like I want to kill somebody type of anger. It's that can be more of like a frustration, irritation. Thing. So you saw, have you ever been somewhere unfamiliar, your navigation app said head north, and you turn around and around, everybody's like, yeah, I've totally had that, and then where do I go? And I start walking, and then I realize, oh, I'm pretending like I had a text from a friend, and start walking the other direction so I don't look stupid. And so that anger, if you when you were talking about your problem, you should be tapping into anger, frustration, irritation, something along the lines. The stronger the
the emotion is, the better your pitch. So if you're making people really angry, like, yeah, we gotta fix that, that is very much a good basis for a pitch. Now, you're gonna anger, don't like luxuriate in the anger and then that's it, and that's not a pitch, that's just a rant. Then you're gonna go into delight. You're gonna go into how do you excite people, how do you get them interested and entertain them. Now, I've worked with a lot. I work one-on-one with folks who are doing pitches for all sorts of things, and I've worked on a bunch of really rough stuff and like human rights violations or whatever. How do you pitch people for money? It's hard to like make a joke then, and this is my personality, so I don't know all of you, but if you in some way are light, like your energy is lifted, that can entertain people to some degree. We pay tons of money to be entertained via the entertainment business, but also via sports. And so if you think about how much you can infuse that into your presentation, it's nice to go from anger to entertainment. So if I'm doing this, like, yeah, I'm really frustrated, but now we present Walk, a walking navigation app that gives directions based on visual cues instead of north-south. You are immediately interested and delighted, and then I start to provide what is the inspiration. And you start to give the vision of how the world is different. So the end that you want to end your pitch on is you want to give hope. And what hope does is it gives people a wish for a better tomorrow, and it makes them want to sign a check. It makes them want to join your team. It makes them want to hire you, whatever you are pitching. And let me give you an example. Regardless of your politics, I know I'm going to go there, both our current president and Obama use this model exactly. Think about it. They were both upset with the status quo. They had entertainment in different ways, very different ways, but entertainment nonetheless. And then they provided a solution for a better tomorrow. And that really rallied people to get out and vote. Now, unfortunately, in our, no politics, but in our last election, Hillary did not do that. Her message was not really clear. I did not understand what was wrong with the status quo, and I didn't understand how the world was going to be better with her. So love or hate either Obama or our current president, but they use this framework, and you can see it really does work. And if you think about the things like, what did drive me to donate? What did drive me to take this job or hire this person? It's typically that this person's solving a problem that I have. You're right, they capitalized on that. They entertain me in some capacity. We don't like hanging out with like the most boring people, no offense. I'm not saying any of you are boring. I just mean like no offense to people in your life who are boring. That's all that I meant by that. And then lastly, like how can I think about my life being better, and how can I join to be a part of that? So again, when you look at storytelling 101, a problem, you have to have a problem. Anyone else, what do you have to have? A problem and a solution, that's right, you were paying attention. So then it's a solution. What are you providing that's gonna make their life better and maybe make them do a little dance? What is the vision and market opportunity? How is the world gonna be different with your idea in it? And when you're looking at your vision, think big, think really big. Think everybody in the world knows about me or my idea. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, I'm not promising you that, but it's more likely to happen if you think it. But also, it makes you think much bigger about the world being different with your idea in it. If you are solving a small problem, that's fine, but think about how it would affect everyone's lives on a global scale. If everybody knew about your service, everyone was using your product, how is that world going to change, and how's that world going to look? And then, of course, how it works. What are the inner pieces of how it works? For me, it's, well, we use our proprietary navigation algorithm to give you turn-by-turn directions with visual cues. The turns, the points of interest depend on time of day, type of person, brand density in the area. Nobody cares about that until I get through all of that. So I'll give you another example. As women, we wait a lot in the line for the bathroom. Now, if somebody pitched to me, hey, you wait in line a lot for the bathroom. Can you imagine what you could do with your days if you had all that time back? Yes, yes, I could imagine that, in fact. Well, I have a solution for you. I don't care what the thing is. I do not care how you make it work, but I am paying you money. I will give you all of my money so that I can never wait in line for a bathroom again. So it doesn't really matter how you're solving it just yet.
you're presenting a problem and a solution, and then you can get down into how it works. Is it like a portable porta potty that I bring myself places? Is it something I put in, like, whatever? I'm buying, I don't care. And then why you? What is relevant to your work? Who can you tie yourself to? So we have also on our board the former CMO of Waze and the former CFO of Snapchat. And when I say Waze, Snapchat, C-something, C-suite, anything, people are like, oh, damn. And so people get excited. Who can you tie yourself to? What companies have people worked for? And it's okay if it's like a loose connection. You're like, yeah, I did a contract with Coca-Cola once, and you're building out a product that involves beverages. Totally fine. But how can you make yourself relevant to the thing that you're doing? Now, let me tell you, when I started... Thank you. When I started my first app, I knew nothing, as I mentioned, about technology, about building apps. I worked at a tech company, but I was doing corporate comms and business development. And I thought, why me? Why me? I mean, I have no real reason to be the person to do this thing, but I walked all the time. I grew up in LA, but then I lived in Boston, I lived in London, DC, and New York. And I discovered that, oh, the world walks, LA just drives, but everybody walks to and from their car, at least. And if you have legs and they operate, like, you're walking, whether or not you think about it. And so I thought, why is no navigation app do this? And I was dedicated to doing it. I did a lot of research. I did a lean startup machine workshop where I got people. I interviewed hundreds and then thousands of people on the street to see if they would use this product. And so I believe that I was uniquely qualified to do this because I had all the data and I had the problem and I knew the solution. Now, that was my experience. I now have more reasons that I was the person to do the things that I do today. But it's okay if you start out and you don't really have like, oh, I haven't worked in tech building my entire life. You can also work with my team, and then we can give you lots of things to make your pitch more relevant. All right, so I have just a quick thing, which if anybody wants to come up here, and I know there's one of you that want to come up here that has a problem, have a solution, you can come up and give your pitch. I have 5 minutes, correct? Yes? I have 5-ish minutes, so you have to make it quick. So come up and you can give your problem solution pitch. Anyone? And then I'm just gonna workshop it real fast. Yes, Carla! Let's give a round of applause for Carla. Good for you. Thank you. All right, let's do it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I have Australian accent, so hopefully you can understand me. And I talk fast. So my problem is that data is not digital. It's in many systems, and it's on paper records. And so for us, so the solution is that I think there's also young people that don't have much opportunity or a lot of internships. So I would like to digitize data through using young people as consultants as opposed to big consultancies. So it's not really technology.
That's okay. You can pitch anything.
But a business will save money, and they will have the opportunity to change the lives of young people who don't have opportunity, maybe don't have any jobs or part-time jobs. So I'd provide that opportunity for the young people to get exposure to maybe technical opportunities or technical backgrounds. And so,
cool. Yeah. Cool. Great. Let's give her a hand.
I didn't say the why.
I'm going to give you... What did you say?
I didn't say the why.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, problem, solution. What's the next one?
Well, we can just do the problem solution.
Okay.
We can just do that because we have a couple minutes. So I'm going to give you a couple notes and then you're going to try it again.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Great job. She did great. And just going up and being my victim, it's very impressive. So good job for you. I think you switched the problem solution. You talked later about what the... that the problem is that people don't have jobs or can be connected properly. So you got to start with that.
Okay.
And you have to make it relevant to these people. Now, we don't know these people, right? I mean, I don't know these people. I know this guy and that guy, but that's all that I know. So you don't have enough information to know what's relevant to them. So we have to figure out what's a thing that's relevant. So it might be when you got out of college, how did you find a job? Mm-hmm. How did you find a job? Did you go to a cork board? I mean, I don't know what day you, or did you go to a online job board, or how did you connect with the best thing for you? Now, I'm making this up mm-hmm. because I don't know your product exactly. Do you have a name for your product?
What's My Why.
What's My Why. Okay, great. So you're going to want to say the product name in the solution. And ideally in your problem, you can ask a rhetorical question. So it's the, when you, and just make people think, you're not asking them like, hey, anybody use a cork board after they, when they applied for their first job? So you're going to say, think about it. How did you apply, find your first job and then your second job when you wanted, my first job was working at 21 Choices around the corner. So how did you find that job? And make them start to think like, how did you find that job? And then think, all right, well, how would you find a job today? How has that changed? Let them think about it. Give them a second. And then say, well, today's problems are, today, this is what the job market looks like. We have all these people. Their skills are not matched to the existing jobs. And we should talk later because I have an mm-hmm. idea about this. And then here's what we provide. Here's the name of, why is it called? What is it called?
What's My Why?
What's My Why? What's My Why does this, and our vision is this. And that's pretty much all that you need to say to get them to ask you, tell me more. The purpose of the 1 to 2 sentence pitch is just the problem solution part, is to get them to say, oh, so do you mean like, who are you targeting, or any question? And if we worked longer together, we could lead them to the question we want them to ask based on that pitch. But do you understand those notes? Do you want to try it again? Okay, wait, before you do, give Carla a round of applause.
Okay. I have a question before. Okay, so I think then that I'm giving the wrong messaging. So my audience, can I start with that so you can
sure.
tell me?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, my audience is executives of a corporation who spend money on data management. Mm. Mm-hmm. People I'm going to use are the students, you know, to give them opportunity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe I'm getting the wrong.
So you're pitching execs?
I'm pitching executives.
Okay. Cool. So sometimes when we go into pitches, we think about the person as a representative as opposed to the person as a person. So they are executives of a company, so we have to make it relevant to that. They're also human beings. So anyway, they're paying for that data. So what is the real problem you're solving for them?
It costs too much money.
Okay.
Can you digitize data?
Okay. Okay. And what I liked about her pitch, and I did not mention, is that there were no numbers that she used in your 1 to 2 sentence pitch. Don't say like 73% of da da da. Nobody cares about 73%. Let me tell you, if it's 0% or 100%, it matters, but you don't need the numbers. So great job on that. And so you want to start with, think about how much you're spending, or something like mm-hmm. how much are you spending on this big problem and how are you solving this? And you want to, in this case, engage them to say, oh, so how does the solution work for my particular needs, right? So you might, so in this case, are you pitching like a large group or just one person or a couple people?
It could be any.
Okay. So if you're doing a smaller pitch, you can ask a question. The reason you don't ask a question to a larger group is you have no idea what they're going to say, and it's a wild card. And if they answer the way, if you say, how much, like, do any of you need to save money on data, and nobody raises their hand, you look kind of like a, I'll say I've had it, and I look like an ass. And the other thing is that people don't like to be called on, because we all have memories from class of not knowing the answer and answering it wrong and being embarrassed. So people won't raise their hands. So when,
can I but say
when,
this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever been in a situation where your budget was $500,000 and you spent $3 million? Or like, you know, maybe not those numbers, but your budget was X and you spent Y, and you have no idea why you got to that point.
Yeah. So something I would exaggerate the numbers. So I'd say something like, if you have to use numbers, they have to be wholes or halves, and that's it. And I would say, have you ever budgeted $500,000 and ended up costing you 10? And your emotional reaction needs when you are setting the emotional tone for them. So you need to first be, have you ever kind of thinking, and then it costs you 10, and kind of land it in a way where they feel like, oh yeah, that was bad. That was a bad choice. And because you're exaggerating numbers for the story of purpose, for the purpose of storytelling. And then your solution is, tell me in one line what your solution is.
A way to, I don't know now.
That's okay. It's okay. What is your service provide?
People.
To analyze data?
No, to actually put the physical data in the right standard format.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, so you're saving money on human costs and data analytics costs.
Yeah.
No. Oh, we have to go do a Q&A. Okay.
But thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, great, great. Okay, well, let's chat after. Great. Well, you did a great job.
Thank you, Allison. Nope.
Oh,
sorry,
you can
we don't have enough time. Okay, thank you so much. That was fantastic. We're going to open this up to Q&A. Please do not pitch. We don't have time for that. And to be honest, nobody wants to hear it. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. We want questions. We're looking for questions. So if it has a question mark at the end, come talk to us later about your pitches. We really want questions right now. So I'm going to pass the mic to John. Hang on one second.
Got a question all the way back, but before we get to the question, can you talk a little bit about this product that you're working on, Walk, and your strategic partner? Because we were talking about that earlier, and that was actually very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So with Walk, we got approached by a corporation called Bose. Maybe you know them. And they messaged me on LinkedIn and said, hey, can you get back to us? And I thought it was one of those annoying sales offers, and I didn't reply. And then they wrote me and said, no, really, we're from Bose. Can you call us? So anyway, they were making this product. They were making sunglasses that have speakers in them. So these sunglasses are the first in the world, and they have speakers in them. So instead of you putting something in your ears and not hearing your surroundings, you can actually wear the sunglasses, and any of you can come, well, some of you can come, that would be a very long line to test them, but you press a button and then you can hear music, and we're gonna provide the navigation experience. We're doing a big activation at South by Southwest. I can't tell you all the details because this is a surprise, but you can also, there are sensors across the top, so we know which direction you're facing, where you're looking. And also, if we say, do you see McDonald's? You can say yes, you can say no, or you can nod or shake your head, and all of those gestures are recognized by the sunglasses. It's pretty cool, pretty fun. Well, thank you. I didn't make the sunglasses. I just, you know, just doing the background work. Thank you. Thank you.
Question back here.
Yeah.
I'm a Chandler parent, so very happy to see you, number one.
Yes, well done you.
Question for you is that last week I got pulled into a meeting, gave me a one-minute notice, and to a group of foreign CEOs, and I found out I have a trembling voice for the first 5 minutes. So question for you is, an entrepreneur, you always have a lot of opportunity to pitch, but with short notice, for a person like me, it's never type of person, always on. So how to prepare and how to calm down very quickly?
Yeah. So again, to my calm down point, don't calm down. Get excited. So get excited and think, this is an awesome opportunity. I'm going to be great. If you have memorized your pitch, which you will, it's a two-sentence pitch. It's a problem solution. You've memorized the underlying framework that you can flex based on who you're talking to. The other thing is, the fact that you know you have a trembling voice when you first start talking is the first way to start solving that problem. If you don't know that and people around you are like, your voice is trembling, and you don't notice that, that's something different. So I can give you a few tips and tricks on how to do that specific trembling issue, but that's a quick top line summary. Yeah.
You should to ask you about bombing at the Q&A.
Oh, thank you for remembering. Okay, so bombing is something that we're all super afraid of. A lot of times that's the worst that could possibly happen. I'm just gonna give you a quick story of the worst bomb ever and how to, it's really quick, I promise. So I was asked to go do a speech at SUNY in New York in their journalism school. I did, it was awesome. They asked me to come and present as a startup showcase. I came, they were for journalism startups. Now you've heard about my startup and it has no relation to journalism whatsoever, but obviously I like the spotlight, so I said yes. And I got up there and you see my energy is pretty big, and I get into a room full of journalists who are so small and quiet, and like, and I come in, hey, how's it going? And I got a little uncomfortable, and so my energy kept getting bigger and bigger, and they kept getting smaller and smaller. Like, hey, no, oh, you don't think, well, have you ever been somewhere unfamiliar and you're navigating? And they're like, what's happening right now? And then I asked a question, just like I said, don't do this. I asked a question I didn't know the answer to or how people would react. So I said, have you been somewhere unfamiliar? Navigation app says heads north. Have you? And I didn't ask it rhetorically. I said, have you? Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, well, none of you have clearly have smartphones or navigation apps on your phone. So I'm trying to back out, and then I'm insulting them, which is always like a good way to go and make a good impression. And then I demanded action, so you don't You need to match their energy. You need to not ask questions that you don't know someone, unless you've planted in the audience, is going to answer properly. And then you need to not demand action. And what I did is I said, we're available in the App Store. You can download us. It's okay. I'll wait.
Oh, no.
Nobody moved. Again, nobody moved except one guy in the back. I think was texting his friend like, this is the worst presentation I've ever seen. Anyway, so don't do those things and you'll survive.
Question right here.
Good morning, and thank you for your presentation. It was great. Regarding the steps that you had for the pitch deck, you had why me or why us after how it works. Mm-hmm. And I heard you said it is better to push how it works all the way to the end. What is the benefit of bringing it up before why us or why me?
Bringing up the how it works or bringing up why me?
Bringing up why me.
Yeah. So I have some clients I work with that you need to validate yourself in the very beginning. One of my clients is a child psychiatrist and psychologist, and he has a platform where you can jump on the phone anonymously with a group of people who share your problems. So you could have an eating disorder, or you could just be struggling with missing your family over the holidays, anything. And he's this small Indian guy, and he is very kind of soft-spoken, and he comes in and you're not immediately impressed with him. And fortunately for him, stereotypes are doctors as Indians, so he has that going for him. But so I had him start by lifting up the psychiatrist-psychologist bit. If you don't need it, you don't need to say it until the end, but you have to be comfortable with bragging to a certain degree. And for women and people of color, the type of bragging and the style is different than you can as a white man, and as a straight white man, I should say. And so there are reasons to lift it. I would have to hear your particular pitch to tell you kind of where to slot that in. But that's a good observation. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Hey, so great presentation. Thank you so much for doing this. Do you have any really good tips for memorization that are just like quick? I have this huge script that I need to memorize for work, and I'm like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah. So break it up into pieces. And I do a whole thing on this, again, 4-hour workshop. But break it up into pieces and then rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. And the way that actors do it is your first on book, which is meaning you're reading a script and you can read it. And don't be embarrassed. Keep reading it, reading it. Then have someone sit across from you. Have them hold the script. You just say it. If you mess up a line, they'll say wrong, or you'll say line if you don't remember. And then you have to repeat it from the beginning of where you started. So that closes that synapse in the brain that's been opened that can't remember, wait, what do I say next? A lot of times we just start memorizing then the next section and the next words as opposed to going backwards. So continue doing that and then rehearse. It's just like practicing piano. I did not do my piano practice, and today I'm not a pianist. So you just need to practice a lot. You're welcome.
What techniques would you advise on pitching to, say, some serious investors? And have you ever pitched to a very serious investor?
I only pitch to fun investors, so if you're serious, get away from me. I've been in so many investor rooms where I walk in and they're like, who is this person? I mean, lean into your character, right? I don't know you personally. I don't know a lot of you personally, but my character is up. My character is confident. I mean, everybody should have confidence in their character, but I come into a room, yeah, I pitch serious people, but do any of those people ever laugh? Have they ever laughed in their life? Do they enjoy laughing? Like, we sometimes ascribe, oh, they're, like, I went and pitched Andreessen Horowitz, and they were really excited about my pitch because they've all had this problem. So if you make the problem relevant for them, and you think about them as humans. I'll give you an example. When I went to Bose headquarters, it was kind of a nightmare in terms of logistics, and we gave our little demo thing, and then the person said, hey, are you the representative for Walk on stage and on the panel? And I was like, yeah, what panel? My voice. Yeah, totally. What are we talking about on this panel that I knew nothing about? And she said, oh, don't worry, the moderator will tell you. And so I was in front of like all Bose executives, huge conference room or arena or whatever it was. And I thought, how am I going to make this about the Bose, like how it works with Bose technology, whatever. And I thought, screw it. Have you ever been somewhere unfamiliar and navigation app said head north? And I tell you, the chairman, the CFO, bunch of people came up to me afterward and said, oh my God, I've had that experience. So think about people as people and not so much as what they represent. Decouples that fear. Yeah.
Right, yeah, it was a great presentation. I was wondering, are there any like distinct differences between pitching to one person, like if I'm talking to you, versus pitching to a group? Because like with you, there could be more back and forth, you know?
Yeah. I make sure to give everyone attention that I'm talking to. So we've all been at a cocktail party and you're talking to a group of people or you're in just threes and then the one person just starts talking to this person and you're like, should I leave? Is this not? And then like, do I go to the snack bar? And so what's really important is to break eye contact and physically move. And if you see somebody's just talking to you, because if you're the one with the pitch, people want to talk directly to you. You have to break eye contact and move your head directly to a different person, start to engage them. That will make that person look at that other person. And then do the same. And literally, because your eyes are looking at them, they're not looking in your eyes anymore. They can meet their eyes. So that's what I say in smaller groups, how to engage people. And then if you see that it's not really resonating with him, my personality is I want to engage the person who's not, because I like doing the hardest thing always, as opposed to like, oh, engage the engaging person. But I see the bored person, I'm like, you, let's talk. So it depends on your personality, but that's how I would make sure to engage with those people.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Time for two more questions.
Two more.
Just quickly, the problem solution, getting it down to that very simple sentence structure, do you have any processes to do that? Because that is my stumbling block, is how to provide that specifically for, you know, they say, you know, get your niche market, all that type of a thing. But do you have some tips for that?
Yeah, I have 4 hours for that, if you'd like to attend a workshop. Or do my one-on-one coaching. It was, again, 4 hours for that. Yeah, I mean, I work with my clients one-on-one and in these workshops, and it's all about that. As you see, the simplest-looking things are the hardest to do, and it's much easier to write a 10,000-word essay than it is to write a 10-word thing. But I have a lot of tips, but I would say the short, pun intended, of it is that you need to make the problem relevant to the person you're talking to. And if you have a really long problem explanation, people typically get it within 4 or 5 words. They get what you're talking about, and then they get the kind of to the next thing. The other thing to keep in mind, this is not exactly what you asked, but when you first start talking to somebody new, when you start talking to somebody new, they've never heard your voice before, they've never seen what you look like, so they take a few seconds to take you in. So anything you say first should not be important. So say, hi, my name is, say your name, and then maybe make a joke, or the weather, am I right? Dodgers. I don't know, did Dodgers play here? I don't know. You can tell, sports, not my forte. But anyway, so start kind of there, and then make the problem resonate with them. And I would say the problem solution pitch, if it's too long, you can tell, because people start whatever. And try different things. What I do with my clients in my workshops is we'll get a pitch, and I'm not selling you on like, this is the best pitch ever, and I'll give you my language and we adapt it to your vernacular. But then after that, you go and test it. And you go, and the best thing about that, I go to Starbucks, it's a really great place, and I'm like, hey, I'm working on this pitch, can I pitch you? And pitch them. Don't ask them for their feedback, because people love criticizing pitches. You say, what did you get from that? What did you hear? And if they heard the wrong thing, so I used to say, we give directions based on landmarks, and people said, oh, like, turn right at the Empire State Building, turn left at the Statue of Liberty, and I said, well, hard to turn at the Statue of Liberty, but no, actually, I'm thinking more like McDonald's. And somebody said visual cues, and I said I would never use those words, but I noticed that once I started saying visual cues, people knew what I was talking about. So you have to also see, we tend to build this category, this library of language, and we think everyone understands our language. I used to work in politics. in national security and human rights, in and out of Congress in D.C., and the acronyms are like everywhere, and then they use them with regular people, and nobody knows what you're talking about. So just pay attention to how people react, and I would have to do more work with you one-on-one on how to shorten whatever your pitch is. Welcome.
One last question.
Yes. You were talking about problem solving. My question is, after your pitch, what would you do if you're getting questions about your pitch and you don't have the answer or you don't know the answer?
So let me get this straight. You don't know the answers to every question you might not
Not to every
get.
Question, but some questions.
I'm being facetious. The reality is we're going to get questions we don't know the answer to. So what I always do is work with folks to put together your FAQ list. So after you give your pitch a few times, you're going to get certain questions coming up over and over again. And I get the same questions every time, I can guarantee it. And another acting tip is you have to pretend like it's the first time you've ever heard that question and like, oh, that's such a good question. You don't have to ask it like so like exaggerated like I just did. But then if you don't know the answer and it's something like you're pitching an investor and they're asking for a number you don't know, you can say, you're like, oh, that's a really good question. Let me check with my team and I'll get back to you. But if you deliver the response, I think like, because sometimes we try and cover up for the fact that we don't know and people figure that out. It's pretty simple. But if you deliver it with confidence of, actually, I don't know that. And you put together your FAQ list so you know pretty much the range of things you're talking about. You will get questions you don't know the answer to, and that's okay. And everybody in the room does not know everything in relation to our pitch and every question someone might ask, and that's totally okay. So you're gonna do great.
Thank you, Allison. That was such a great presentation.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all so much.
We're very lucky to have amazing presenters like Allison. Next Friday, we're going to have Zach Miller. He's going to come and speak. He's the CEO of a drink company called Joe Froyo. The thing that's amazing about his story is he used to own franchises. So he owned some Little Caesars. He owned some Verizon stores. I think 20 different locations of 5 different franchises. And he took what he learned owning those franchises and started building his own companies. And so he's going to talk about what that process is like. And the part that I think is really amazing is to build this drink company, he used the foundational learnings from owning Little Caesars. And Little Caesars, if you didn't know, makes the same size pizza with the same size boxes, same process, very process driven. And so as he was thinking about starting his new startup and building his brand, that was his foundational motivation. So Zach's going to come and speak next week. Very much looking forward to it.